In our world, we have different languages, cultures, skin colors, ethnicities, and religions. United States and Egypt are two rich communities with huge diversity in all aspects. However, difference should not be a reason to fight, disrespect, or exclude each other. Difference can be intriguing, provoking interesting discussions. Here with you, Rama, in Compelling Difference on Radio 90s FM.
Compelling Difference مع رحمة ليل كل يوم اثنين الساعة 10:30 بالليل على تسعينات FM.
Hello everyone and welcome to Compelling Difference. Here with you today, Rama on Radio 90s FM. If you want to call us or contribute to the program, please call us on 01000-427894. If you want to contribute to the program, you can also WhatsApp us on the same number. If you want to contribute to the program, you can also answer the question of today's episode on Radio 90s FM Facebook page. The question of today's episode is, do you think it's a good idea to allow foreigners to work in Egypt? So last episode, we have discussed misconceptions Egyptians have about Americans and misconceptions that Americans have about Egyptians. We have also discussed the misconception about Islam and how to avoid biases and stereotypes. In this episode, we will discuss the influential Egyptian-Americans. And before that, we will talk about reasons to go for exchange programs and how immigrants benefit societies. So some parents are against the idea of their kids going to exchange programs. We will try to change their minds through this episode. So student exchange programs enable students to study abroad. So why you should consider going for one? First of all, you will experience completely new way of life. So fully embracing a new culture is a step out of your comfort zone, and immersing yourself in the new culture will definitely let you understand yourself better and will make you understand the new culture better. And you will encounter unexpected situations due to the cultural differences, and you will have to adapt. So this will enhance your adaptation skills. For sure, studying abroad will expand your employment opportunities, because studying abroad means learning a new language, learning a new culture, widening your horizons, being bilingual, being bicultural, and definitely being exposed to different work environments. And companies, especially multinational ones, are looking for candidates with international experiences. So adding in your CVs that you have worked or studied in a different country will definitely help you. Another thing is you will experience different styles of teaching and different lifestyles. Different schools and universities around the world have different school systems, so traveling abroad will let you experience different school systems and different lifestyles. Then you will be able to decide what works for you the best and what doesn't work for you. So you will also learn more about yourself, more than what you would learn in your home country. Another thing is exchange program helps you build global network. You can end up having friends from all over the world. This means wherever you go for fun, for work, for business, for education, or even for a family visit, you will always have people to meet and to have fun with. They can even be good connections for you if you are looking for jobs overseas. Exchange programs also broadens personal perspective. Without my scholarship, I wouldn't know anything about the American culture. I wouldn't know anything about religions. I wouldn't know anything about languages in the United States. And Compelling Difference wouldn't have existed. So exchange programs would definitely help you widen your horizons. Exchange programs also teaches you to be independent. Because in Egypt, our mothers spoil us. They think it's right to make us do nothing. And they think it's right to do everything instead of us. So we are grown up thinking it's okay to be dependent on our mothers, to clean after us. And it's okay to be dependent on our fathers, to be the breadwinner of the family. So exchange programs help us learn to be self-sufficient, as none will be with us. And our loved ones are basically away, and they are overseas. So we will basically be dependent on ourselves. And we will have to manage our anxiety on our own. And we will also have to manage our stress on our own. We will also have to manage our finances on our own. So we will basically be taught independence. Exchange programs also teach us to be more tolerant, more accepting, and more aware. Global awareness will lead to increasing overall knowledge about global affairs, thus increasing overall self-esteem. Exchange programs also makes you learn different languages. By practicing, I have got the question of how I have learned English many, many times. And today I will let you know my secret. So basically, to learn English, I'll give you some tips and tricks. First of all, you should listen to English songs all the time, even if you don't understand anything. You basically need to get exposed to the language. The second thing is watching English movies, even if you don't understand. Just being exposed to the language is good. The third thing is having an accent reduction coach. I basically had an accent reduction coach during my time in the United States because he would help you, or she would help you, practice the phonetics that we are not familiar with because it's not common in Arabic. So basically, an accent reduction coach will definitely help. The fourth thing is practice speaking with a native speaker. And this can only happen if you are on a student exchange program. So don't hesitate to sign up for Fulbright or YES program, or to follow the U.S. Embassy website for more exchange programs between the U.S. and Egypt. So what if you have decided to immigrate? How would you benefit the new society? That's what we will learn when we're back.
First things first, I'ma say all the words inside my head. I'm fired up and tired of the way that things have been. Oh, ooh, the way that things have been. Oh, ooh. Second thing, second, don't you tell me what you think that I can be. I'm the one at the sail, I'm the master of my sea. Oh, ooh, the master of my sea. Oh, ooh. I was broken from a young age, taking my soak into the masses, writing my poems for the few that look at me, took to me, shook at me, feeling me, singing from heartache, from the pain, taking my message from the veins, speaking my lesson from the brain, seeing the beauty through the...
Believer, believer, believer. my veins, oh, ooh, the blood in my veins, oh, ooh. But they never did, ever lived, ebbing and flowing, inhibited, limited, till it broke up when it rained down like...
Welcome back. You're still listening to Compelling Difference with Drama. So if you want to call us to contribute to the program, please call us on 01-00-427-894. You can also WhatsApp us on this number. If you want to contribute to us by answering the question of the episode, you can do this through Radio 90s FM Facebook page. The question of today's episode is, do you think it's a good idea to allow foreigners to work in Egypt? Let's see what you have answered. Dina Hotter commented saying, Egyptians cannot find jobs, so foreigners will not come to work. Karim Khalid commented saying, I guess yes, in order to benefit from their experience in time management and to share knowledge and work experience with each other. That's a really good point of view, Karim. And actually, that's exactly what I think. So, yeah. Hannah Gerges commented saying, not really. We need to provide opportunities for the citizens who should come first. So, Hannah, what would you think if America have prevented all the immigration? Would you think it's okay? Let's think about it. Marwa Rashad commented saying, no, Egypt has enough brains and enough skills and they don't find any opportunities. Ranim commented saying, I think in most cases experience and knowledge are the real qualifications, but priorities should be for Egyptians if they both have equal qualifications. Sounds good. So... we have, in Egypt, we had the situation before when Syrian refugees came to Egypt after the war in Syria. And they have contributed to the economy by having their own business. And they had their own shops and their own restaurants. So basically, they increased the competitiveness in Egypt. So Egyptian restaurants, when they found Syrian restaurants becoming better and bigger, so they have enhanced their service so that they would be good enough to compete with them. So sometimes immigrants create new job opportunities and create a better competitive atmosphere. So this is something that we would think of. So what about immigrants in the United States? We would see some myth and some facts to look at. So there is a myth that the U.S. doesn't need immigration and the U.S. doesn't need immigration to increase its population. And the fact is that the U.S. witnesses slow population growth between 2010 and 2020. And future immigration is needed to increase the population levels overall. Another myth is that immigration hurts American workers and take American jobs. And the fact is that immigrants create new jobs, pay taxes more than whatever benefits they take from the government. And research shows that immigrants collaborate with rather than compete with American workers. And this is the same thing for the Syrian refugees who come to Egypt. They basically create more jobs because they have shops in Egypt who they have both Syrian people and Egyptian people working at it. So basically, they are not stealing Egyptian jobs. They are creating jobs. And the economy doesn't work in a way that if someone found a job, another one would lose a job. It's a more dynamic process where when someone finds a job, another job is created. Another myth is that immigrants are a drain on the U.S. economy, and reducing immigrants would make economy stronger. And the fact is that immigrants are consumers with an enormous spending power. So basically, this spending power drives the American economy and creates job opportunities for all Americans. And immigrants added $2 trillion to the U.S. GDP in 2016 and $458.7 billion to the state, local, and federal taxes in 2018. So, basically, immigrants pay taxes the same way citizens do. So, if you are paying taxes and you are contributing to the society you are living in, why you wouldn't be given rights? Another myth is immigrants are not educated and they have no skills to offer Americans. And this is a huge myth because immigrants are actually 43% of recently arrived family and diversity-based immigrants are college graduates compared to 29% of native-born Americans and more than half of STEM degrees awarded by U.S. universities go to international students and about half of applicants for H-1B temporary work visa have master's degrees from a U.S. university. So basically, immigrants are educated people. And right now, I'm not talking about undocumented immigrants. I'm talking about immigrants who come to the country legally. So America has right to do whatever it wants with people who come to it illegally. But for legal immigrants who actually have gone through the process to go to the country, I wouldn't accuse them of being uneducated. I wouldn't accuse them of being a drain to the country's economy. And I wouldn't accuse them to be a burden, a burden to the country. Another thing is, some people claim that immigrants are a burden to essential services like schools, hospitals, and highways. And the fact is, immigrants contribute to the tax revenue by $458.7 billion to state, local, and federal taxes in 2018. And these billions of dollars are used to fund schools, hospitals, emergency response services, highways, and other essential services. So they are basically paying for whatever services they are taking. So if they are paying for it, they deserve to take it. So they are not a burden to us essential services, they're actually paying for it. Another myth is, some people claim that international students take jobs from Americans. And let me clarify this whole big misconception. First of all, international students have entrepreneurial spirit. They have innovative skills, and they are a big spending power. So they contribute to the campuses, they collaborate with American students, and they exchange the culture with American students. So basically, they have something to contribute to the American life. So I wouldn't say they are a burden, and I wouldn't say they steal American jobs. And they actually spend billions of dollars as consumer power. So they pay higher tuition rates. And indeed, companies are always reluctant to hire international students because they do not want to go through the tedious visa process. I was on a G1 visa and I was an international student. I was not allowed to work in the United States or to get an H-1B before going back to my country for 2 years. So I don't really know what they're talking about when someone claims that international students are stealing American jobs. This is a big myth. So yeah, to work in the United States and to have your own job, it's not easy. So you are not stealing American jobs. You basically are trying to have a life for yourself. So some people did live the American dream, and some people benefited America as immigrants. We will know more about those people when we're back.
Best. You can be the King Kong banging on your chest.
You can beat the world, you can beat the war. You can talk the guy, go banging on his door.
You can throw your hands up, you can beat the clock.
Yeah.
You can move a mountain, you can break rocks.
You can be a master, don't wait for luck. Dedicate yourself and you can find yourself.
Standing in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And the world's gonna know your name. You can run the mile. You can walk straight through hell with a smile.
You could be the hero, you could get the gold. Breaking all the records they thought never could be broke.
Yeah, do it for your people, do it for your pride. And you're never gonna know if you never even try.
Do it for your country, do it for your name.
Cause there's gonna be a day when you're
standing in the Hall of Fame. Yeah.
And the world's gonna know your name.
Welcome back. You're still listening to Compelling Difference with Rama. So if you want to call us, please call us on 01-000-427-894. Before the break, we were talking about immigration and how it affects the countries. And now we will be talking about influential Egyptian Americans. And of course, we'll be talking about some of them, not all of them. We'll be talking about two examples. And the first example we have is Dr. Ahmed Zuhail. Dr. Ahmed Hassan Zuhail was born in Damanhur on February 26, in 1946, and he died in California on August 2, 2016. He is an Egyptian-born chemist who won Nobel Prize in 1999 for developing a rapid laser technique. that enabled scientists to study the action of atoms during chemical reactions. The breakthrough created a new field in chemistry called femtochemistry. Zubeir was the first Egyptian and the first Arab to win a Nobel Prize in the science category. So basically, Dr. Zubeir loved Egypt and he wanted to serve his home country by establishing Zubeir City for Science and Technology. So Dr. Zubeir basically worked on establishing Zubeir City of Science and Technology for a long time, and he had to fight bureaucracy to make it true. I had the honor to be a student at Zubeir City for Science and Technology before I traveled to the United States in 2016. I got high quality education in basic science like physics, chemistry, biology, and mathematics. My professors were top professors in American universities, but they come to Egypt because they believed in Dr. Zubeir's dream for a better Egypt. Therefore, I encourage all Egyptians to donate for Zubeir University of Science and Technology so that more students will get a better quality education and to produce better research in Egypt. So, another example for influential Egyptian-American is Dr. Mustafa Said. He is another notable Egyptian-American, so he is basically a physical chemist and he is a leading nanoscience researcher. He is a U.S. National Medal of Science laureate. He was born in Zifta in Gharbeya, and he spent his early life in Cairo. He earned his Bachelor of Science degree in chemistry from Ain Shams University, a faculty of science, in 1953. He also earned his doctoral degree in chemistry from Florida State University, working with Michael Kasha. He also spent his time as a postdoc at Harvard University, Yale University, and Caltech before joining the University of California at Los Angeles. Now, he retired from the research career. However, he used to work at Georgia Tech before retiring. He is known for his work in photothermal therapy for cancer using gold nanoparticles. So, what would we learn from those people, from those notable people? The first thing we can learn from them is focusing on our goals. The way wasn't paved with flowers for them. They basically lived in the United States at very critical time. So Dr. Zubeir was in the United States during the time of the war between Israel and Egypt. However, he was very focused and he finished his degree. The second thing we would learn from them is that hard work does pay off. There is nothing that can be paid persistent hard work, and nothing can beat you if you are courageous enough to continue hard working. The third thing is that they were not afraid to be different. Dr. Zubeir and Dr. El-Sayed made scientific breakthroughs, and they were never afraid of being different from previous scientists, and they took whatever previous scientists had to offer and built upon it. The fourth thing that we would learn from them is that both of them had a work-life balance. Both Dr. El-Sayed and Dr. Zubeir had amazing families. Both of them had a family Dr. Zubeir had a family of four kids, and Dr. El-Sayed had a family of five kids. So being successful doesn't mean neglecting your family needs and only focusing on your work. Another thing that we would learn is being humble. As you are achieving your dreams, being humble is something you will definitely learn. There is nothing more gracious and noble than seeing someone who is really successful as being humble and modest. The last thing we would learn is that giving is receiving. Even though Dr. Zubeir and Dr. El-Sayed had busy life in the United States, both of them dedicated a great amount of time to Zubeir University of Science and Technology and its students in Egypt. So in conclusion, today we have discussed the benefits of exchange programs, the myths and facts about immigration, and some notable Egyptian Americans. So that was all for today, and I hope you have enjoyed today's episode, and I will see you next week. Good night!